Are we ready?
Are we ready?
Look, they're checking. David, 431.
You should tell them.
Oh, okay, that's right. It's March 14, 2019, and I call the regular board meeting of the Roland Unified School District Board of Education to order. It is now 4:30. Dr. Mitchell, will you please do roll call?
Yes, Carrie Chen.
Here.
Lynn Ebenkamp.
Here.
Angelina Pride.
Present.
David Malkin.
Present.
And Donna Friedman.
Here.
All board members are present.
Are there any changes or items to be pulled from the agenda?
None from staff.
Hey, can I have a motion to adopt the agenda of the regular board meeting of Thursday, March 14, 2019?
I make a motion.
I second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments on closed items?
None have been received.
Okay. Then we will recess to closed session at 4:31. Good evening. We have returned to open session at 6:02 p.m. All in attendance will be led in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag by Stanley G. Oswald Academy student Matthew Luna.
All right. Please stand, put your hand over your heart, face the flag, ready, begin. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Thank you. There is no closed session report tonight. Next, we are going to move to board recognitions. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Mitchell at this time.
We are going to slightly change the order for some of our recognition, particularly with our water polo team. If you want to come up, Maddie, that'd be perfect. They're on a bus because we're swimming in water polo, so they're in traffic. So we're going to have them go to the end. But for starting this evening, I would like to invite representatives from the Walnut Valley Rotary Club to come forward, please, for recognition. So I know I have some of my fellow Rotarians here in the audience. If you could please come forward. And Jane, who is our president of Rotary. So we've asked the Walnut Valley Rotary Club to come forward and to receive some recognition. They truly are partners with us in the work that we do to better serve our schools and our community. They can't even hear all these nice words I'm saying about them. So Rotary's here tonight primarily for the work that they've done most recently around the holiday programs. So the Walnut Valley Rotary Club has done our holiday baskets where there is a sea of volunteers that come out for a Saturday before the winter holidays and provide a basket of food for families in need. And they provide about 200 food baskets for 200 families. Also, we have a Christmas for Kids program that is sponsored by the Rotary where they have a special connection with Santa. He's able to come out and visit with students, bring some gifts. We have a little celebration for the holidays at one of our schools. And all of that is organized through the Rotary and through their generosity of caring for our students and our community. So we wanted to say thank you very much.
Okay, good evening. Tonight we're excited to have many, many presentations because our students have been doing many, many wonderful things. And we're going to start off with Roland High School, our FCCLA chapter. We do have our advisor, Tracy Taylor, and our principal, Mitch Brugner. So four Roland High School students participated in the Capital Leadership Experience in Sacramento in February. In addition to observing Senate and Assembly Committee hearings and floor sessions, they met with state legislators and staff to discuss the importance of family and consumer sciences. The students explained that this program provides skills that may be used to prepare for higher education or to enter the workforce. Please join me in congratulating Ashley Lung, Diane Chen, Sophia Tay, and Cecilia Wang. At Roland High School, we're also acknowledging our academic decathlon team, and the advisor is Matthew Cole. Beginning in June of 2018, Roland High School's academic decathlon team began participating and studying for their 37th annual LA County Academic Decathlon Competition. At the competition, Roland High School competed against 39 other schools from LA County and came in first place in their division and 10th place overall. For their hard work, commitment, dedication to the team, they received gold medals and a team trophy at the awards banquet. Please join me in congratulating Michelle Kwan, Helen Guo, Alec Wu, Edward Tang, Tony Wu, Ethan Lowe, Andrew Dominguez, and Melody Lowe. From Roland High School, we're also acknowledging our Future Business Leaders of America, advisor Carolyn Manokian and Daniel Luna. The FBLA is a national leadership and business education-oriented organization that offers leadership opportunities and competition in business topics. This year, Roland High School's chapter sent 42 competitors to the Southern Section competition in February. Over 750 students from 16 schools competed at the event. 21 students placed in the top 10 for their events, and 17 of those qualified to compete at the state championship competition by placing in the top six. On behalf of the board, please join me in recognizing our Future Business Leaders of America. We begin with Esther Liu. Tishani Van. Colin Lam. Krishna Natali. Victoria Wong. Serena Wu. Luciano Lim, Edward New, Chelsea Duan, Hassan Ismail, and Ryan Liu. Thank you. Congratulations. Congratulations. We are now switching to our other high school, Nogales High School's girls varsity basketball team. And with us, we have Coach Stephen Falls and Assistant Principal Justin Lopez. The young women of Nogales' girls varsity basketball team have worked tirelessly to make their school and community proud. Their dedication to the academic excellence reflects their competitive nature on the court. This season, they have accomplished an impressive feat. For the first time in history of Nogales High School, the girls' varsity basketball team won first place in the league and advanced to the CIF playoffs. Please join me in congratulating Casey Hirakawa, Guadalupe Garcia, Elizabeth Morales, Jay Serena Mendoza, and Aliana Bernardo. From Nogales, we also are honoring our boys varsity basketball team. And with us, we have our coach, TJ Campbell, and our assistant principal, Jason Lopez. Justin, I'm sorry. The young men of Nogales High School varsity basketball team have shown tremendous growth in both academic and athletic ability. The team won the league championship for the first time in 10 years and advanced to CIF playoffs. This is the third straight season they have qualified for the CIF Southern Section playoffs. Please join me in congratulating the boys that are here tonight. And we have David Hernandez and Bershawn Levi. We are now recognizing our Nogales High School girls varsity soccer team with Justin Lopez, our assistant principal, and coach Alfonso Colmenares. The 2018-2019 Nogales girls varsity soccer team were truly a pleasure to watch this season. The girls played hard, earning second place in the league, to making it to the CIF playoffs. Please join me in welcoming and honoring the following students who are here. Renee Avila. Sandra Valderas. Alisa Gutierrez. Ariana Hernandez. Valerie Madrigal. Star Rodriguez, Iracema Rodriguez, and Emily Velasquez Vasquez. We are now honoring our Nogales High School boys varsity soccer team, and we have our assistant principal, Justin Lopez, and our coach, Javier Aguiniga Campos. The Nogales boys varsity soccer team finished in the 2018-2019 season, placing third in the competitive league and advancing to the CIF playoffs. Their efforts and teamwork led them all the way to the semifinal round. Please join me in congratulating the team members that are here tonight. Miguel Aguilar. Francisco Piña. And Rogelio Silva. Our final recognition for the night is the Nogales High School girls water polo team. We have our coach, Marco Garcia Jr. The Nogales High School girls water polo team had a great season this year, placing second in the league and advancing to CIF playoffs. Their teamwork and dedication to each other and the sport has made Nogales proud. Please join me in congratulating the team members that are here tonight. Vanessa Cow. Shannon Capistrano. Elisa Divers. Sorry. Divers. I did. Nikea Fairley, Doris Fong, Amber Ortega, Gianna Beatriz Pascua, and Kimberly Sarabria.
That was a lot of fun. I feel very short, though. I would like to thank and recognize the Stanley G. Oswald Academy students, parents, staff, and community members for providing the refreshments at tonight's board meeting. Stanley G. Oswald Academy Principal Mr. Jason Garcia, along with ASB President Lillian Dukes and 7th grade student Dana Terry, will provide a brief report highlighting what is going on at their organization.
Somebody like this, and then the kids can move it, and it's all yours.
Okay. Good evening, Dr. Mitchell, board members, cabinet, parents, and families. We want to thank you for just allowing us to share a little bit about our school with you tonight. I personally am thankful for the opportunity to be able to support the work that's happening on my campus. I have enjoyed getting to know my entire school community, building relationships. We're off to a wonderful start. There's a lot of wonderful things taking place on our campus. But who better to paint that picture for you than two of our very own students? So they're going to come up and speak about what makes Oswald truly a special place.
Good evening, Dr. Mitchell, board members, cabinet, parents, and community members. My name is Lillian Dukes, and I'm currently an 8th grade student at Oswald Academy, as well as the ASB president.
And my name is Dana Terry, and I'm a 7th grade student at Oswald Academy.
We are going to share with you tonight a little bit about what makes Oswald Academy special. Oswald Academy is a special place because of our sense of community that is exhibited by the wonderful relationships that we have on our campus. The sense of community is truly an amazing aspect of Oswald Academy. Over the years that I have attended this school, I have built amazing bonds with my former and present teachers. We have been able to get to know each other, and I'm able to trust them and ask for advice. I have noticed that my peers have experienced and built similar relationships with the school community. Students are able to build bonds and friendships with peers, noon aides, teachers, and even admin. Some bonds created here are so special that students even consider these people their second family. It is a family community where we all work together to achieve and excel. Building our family relationships is something we take pride in, and our amazing PTSA helps us do that. PTSA has helped us with many events for students and families to connect with one another and come together. We have had movie nights, literacy nights, and special performances like our Founders Day, where we honored the heroes that are among us at Oswald. We just had our PTSA father-daughter skate night where dads had the opportunity to spend time with their daughters. We also just recently had our PTSA mother-son event. It was a game night where mothers and sons had a little friendly competition playing games against each other. It was a night full of fun, food, and games. These events help dads and moms spend a little quality time with their children, as well as getting to know others in the school community. Our school community focuses on helping student learning be fun and engaging. Our second graders just conducted the Living Museum where they each chose a person who made a difference in the world. They then dressed up as that person and spoke about the life of that person. My English Honors class partnered up with Ms. Ochiltree's second grade class for Buddies this year. Most recently, we helped them research the person that they wanted to focus on and create a presentation for parents. Furthermore, the 6th grade students just finished the PYP exhibition project. Each of the students were put into a group based on an issue in the world they wanted to focus on. They each then researched their issues, finding the causes and effects. The students then created a presentation to present to our entire school community. The 6th grade students also had to take an action in hopes to help the issue they focused on. Our students have also taken part in many field trips tying into the curriculum on what they have learned this year. 7th grade recently went to medieval times after learning about the medieval era in history. 3rd grade will be going on a field trip to the Mount Sac Observatory to enhance their learning on the Native American tribes. And 8th grade went to the Museum of Tolerance as a way to wrap up their unit on the Holocaust and the importance of remembrance. This field trip left a lasting impact on my peers and I. We learned to remember our past so we don't make the same mistakes in the future. Our school community at Oswald Academy is truly something special.
So Aloha Academy is a special place not only because of the sense of community, but we have the opportunity as students to be well-rounded by taking part in many extracurricular activities that our school has to offer. So first of all, we have our elementary and middle school sports program, where many students participate in sports like volleyball, softball, basketball, and soccer. There's our cheer squad who go to the games and support our athletic teams. They cheer at our games and perform dances at our pep rallies. Our school just had its annual middle school winter formal. It was an opportunity for middle school students to dress up and enjoy a masquerade ball. The dance was held after school in the evening, and students had a night full of fun, food, and dance. Some students also participate in our ASB and leadership class. Students learn responsibility and accountability, which helps us develop valuable characteristics we can use in the future. Moreover, the 7th and 8th grade students, including myself, in a leadership elective, are all taking action at the moment. Students in this elective are placed into groups of 6 and had to come up with an action that would benefit our entire school community. Some of the groups are spreading kindness by having other students write messages to their friends, or just by writing a kind note to no one in specific. By this, we feel that we can help our fellow students feel special and a part of our school community. Lily's group is going to plant flowers in an empty space as an act of beautification for our school. As well, they will put on a book drive where students can donate books to our school library. And overall, leadership has truly impacted me as a student at Oswa. First of all, it has brought me more out of my shell, as before I was very shy. In addition, I am able to relate to people and take leadership roles as a student at Oswa. And frankly, it has brought togetherness within the different groups, especially our leadership elective, in which students can share their same interests. Finally, many of our students also take part in our musical programs that are offered on our campus, showcasing their many musical talents. And as you can see, there's a lot of wonderful things that take place on our campus. Oswa Academy is a special place because of our school community and the opportunities to be well-rounded students. Thank you, board members, cabinet, and Dr. Mitchell, for inviting us here tonight to speak about our wonderful school and what makes Oswa Academy a special place.
I just want to thank you all again for just share a little bit about our school. I'm proud of my students, and they were a little shy. They were practicing out there, but just again, thank you. Thank you for highlighting our school this evening. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Oops. The board, we want to say thank you, Mr. Garcia. You two were excellent speakers. We really enjoyed learning all about your school. Thank you very much. And now for a photo, please. Thank you. All of you did a great job, including leading us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you. Next is the superintendent report by Dr. Mitchell.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Good evening, board and guests. During our last study session, there's a community member, Roy Humphreys, that during public comment had stated that pages 79 and 80 of the audit report reoccurrence of ASB accounting thing, this is his quote, he had said, audit report reoccurrence of ASB accounting thing, inadequate documentation of the disbursement of funds brings you back to the Macy's Day Parade $20,000. That was his comment. And so that is the way he said the information. And so Mr. Malkin and the board requested that I research the allegation and provide information to the board. I notice our community member isn't with us tonight, so I can share this with him, but the request came from you, so this response is for you. So the 2017-18 audit for the Roland Unified School District, as you know, was finalized and presented to the board on January 24th of 2019 by our audit firm, Nigro & Nigro. And there were no financial findings, and the audit received an unmodified rating, which is considered the best general acceptance accounting practices. In the management letter to the district, the auditor did note specific observations made regarding school sites' ASB internal controls. So in response to that, long prior to January, to prevent future findings, the district contracted with Nigro & Nigro at the beginning of this school year to provide ASB accounting workshop. And that workshop was mandatory for our school staff, office managers, and principals, or assistant principals or ASB director, whomever deals with the ASB funds, to learn specifically the do's and don'ts around ASB accounting and as a either new information or a refresher. In addition, our fiscal service staff will continue to visit school sites, and we do a lot of internal auditing as well. So in conclusion, there's no mention or any findings related to ASB or Macy's Day Parade. The Macy's Parade took place in the 15-16 school year, and according to the 15-16 audit, which we had Alex Flores go back to, there were no findings relating to any activities surrounding the Macy's Parade field trip. Additionally, Mr. Humphreys uses a $20,000 figure without backup or information of what he's referring to, so we were doing a little dig. So we're happy to review and to further research, given any additional data or information, so that we could do so. So as the comments, you know, he comments that these actions on the part of the district were horrendous and need to be addressed, and we're happy to do so, but there are no findings for us to further review. So I just wanted to follow up. Mr. Malkin, that was your request, so I wanted to provide the board with that information.
Thank you for that. And I really would encourage anybody in the community, if you hear something and you want to verify it, just send a note to our superintendent, and we'd be more than happy to verify anything that you hear.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Sure. On other topics and so forth, so that the board is aware, so Roland Unified School District is thrilled to announce that Roland High School was just named by the California Department of Education as a 2019 California Distinguished School, the state's highest designation for excellence in education. Roland High School was recognized for the tremendous effort the school and staff as a whole have made in increasing access to honors programs for students. The percentage of students enrolled in the honors program school-wide has increased from 28.7% in 2008 to 48.3% in 2018. And that is a collaborative effort of all staff members across the entire campus in order to do that work. The school went from offering 35 types and 65 sections of honors AP or IB courses in 2008 to 45 types and 93 sections in 2018. So the school will be recognized at the school recognition ceremony on April 5th at the Disneyland Resort in Anaheim. And I know Principal Mitch Brunier is with us, and so congratulations to you and your staff. Also, Roland Unified School District has celebrated the 1-year anniversary of our successful monthly food distribution program for our and with our community. Seeing a vital need for the community, our district partnered with the Los Angeles Regional Food Bank and the Suu Kyi Foundation last year to provide food distribution, which takes place at Villacorta Elementary in La Puente on the second Monday of each month from noon to 1:30. So in each month, it's estimated about 250 families from our community receive 25 to 30 pounds of food consisting of fresh produce, fruits and vegetables, pantry items, and even some luxury items. So our food distribution is always looking for volunteers, and Laurel Estrada, our coordinator of our Family Resource Center, who's been just key in keeping this, starting this partnership and keeping it going. So thank you on behalf of the board. And last but certainly not least, the Roland Unified School District Community Survey is out and about and ready for folks to provide us with input and feedback. So our district encourages our community to share their input on the educational priorities for students in Roland Unified. Our annual district LCAP survey is available now and through March 28th. It is available in English, Chinese, Spanish, and Korean online on our district website, and hard copies are also available should someone choose to do so. We also have another community meeting that will be on March 18th at 6 o'clock at Nogales High School. And again, reiterating what Mr. Malkin had said, we're very interested in hearing from our staff, students, and community, parents included, and this is one of the ways in which that can take place. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. Next, we will move on to the Student Board Representatives Report. We will start with a report from Emily Birch, Roland High School ASB Speaker of the House.
Good evening, Madam President, members of the board, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, and members of the audience. My name is Emily Birch, and I'm the Speaker of the House for Roland High School. As you know, the school year is coming to an end, but that doesn't mean anything for the life of Roland High School. February 11th through February 15th, Roland had their Random Acts of Kindness Week. Each day, something kind was given to the students. Monday, each student came to their locker with a nice post-it, giving them a compliment. Tuesday, we held a kissing booth on the stage so students can come up and receive a Hershey's kiss. Thursday, all students received a personalized heart for Valentine's Day. And on Friday, students had the opportunity to take a picture with their loved ones as well as play a game like the Newlyweds game. On Friday, February 22nd, Roland held the Renaissance Assembly, which is to recognize academic excellence as well as academic improvement. The theme was Harry Potter. Over 950 students were in attendance. Those who attended received a 2.5 GPA with no D's or F's, or improved their GPA from last semester by 0.5. Over 185 academic awards were awarded to students, ranging from top 10 GPA in their grade level, national merit, counselor's choice, academic all-league, and AP recognition. It was a very stressful 2 days trying to put up all the decorations and getting our entertainment pieces together, which includes a dance from each of the graduating classes and a magician who performed a variety of acts that we're still trying to figure out. Overall, everyone who attended really enjoyed their time and felt proud of their individual achievements. Also on this day, at lunch, we had our Sadie's revealing, announcing the theme. This year is a throwback theme called That 50s Fling. The dance will be tomorrow, March 15th, from 8 to 11 in the gym. On February 25th, we had our senior event, Foodie February. Here, the students were giving nachos that they could cover in cheese, chili, and jalapenos. On February 26th, we had our Sadie's fashion show to show the clothes that are appropriate to wear at Sadie's, from leather jackets to the poodle skirts. March 3rd through 6th, Roland was visited by the WASC Visiting Committee. For the past couple of months, the staff and students have been putting the finaling touches on our document. Students were given the opportunity to read the document and provide valuable points. Going through this process, we learned a lot about the programs and opportunities that Roland offers to our students. Last Friday night, we had our annual Powder Buff game, where the junior boys played the senior boys in volleyball, and the junior girls and senior girls were their coaches. The boys were given quick 1 week introduction and practice for the game of volleyball. And as a coach, it was a stressful task trying to get 20 senior boys to learn everything in a short amount of time. Luckily, the seniors dominated the juniors, but still made it an interesting match. Elections for the 2019-2020 school year have been completed as of today. Campaigning week for our future ASB members was last week, and this week was election week. Every day at lunch, we had speeches from our candidates as well as voting. By tomorrow, all election results will be final, and starting next month, I will bring the individual who will be taking over for me to show them the ropes. March 21st is not only Roland Parent Conferences, but it's also the grand opening of our brand new administration office and library. We invite all of the board and district personnel to come see our wonderful facilities. The festivities begin at 4 o'clock with a short ceremony, and that's when the tours will begin. Light refreshments will also be served. We can't wait to show our new buildings to our parents and the rest of our community. The day before spring break, March 22nd, we have one of the biggest events on campus, Battle of the Classes. This is a friendly competition between each of the 4 graduating classes in the gym at night. For the past couple years, a little over 1,000 students show up, and we expect this year to have even more. In the sports world, winter sports ended and spring sports began. Several of our boy wrestlers were CIF Southern California champions, with one boy placing 5th at the state level. One of our sophomore girl wrestlers, Cheyenne Bowman, became the state champion for the 2nd time in a row. Our theater department just finished Little Shop of Horrors. The theater department had a special performance for our special education students on Friday, which I was also invited to attend. Not only was it a good musical, but watching the special education students enjoying the show made it even better. All of the different choir groups are competing at various festivals in the next couple weeks. Drumline and Color Guard have also began spring competition season. And all Roland students are continuing to be examples of thinkers, communicators, and contributors. So thank you for your time and your attention.
Thank you, Emily. On behalf of the board, we want to say thank you. We're going to miss you. All of your reports were very thorough, and we really enjoyed them. When you mentioned the kissing booth, I got kind of worried. But when you said kisses, it was fine. I'm sure that we all were like, uh-oh. And we're excited about the grand opening coming up. So thank you.
Great job. Emily, before you step out, if you could also share, my daughter is an Emily who's also a choir person, and they had a festival. Your school was competing in a festival. Uh-huh. And my daughter's school was competing in a festival. So I received this text from my daughter today. Also, Roland's choir did really, really well at the festival today. They were amazing. When you see their director, if you do, tell them how amazing they were. Got Can you pass that on for me?
Yes, I will.
Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Okay, next we will receive a report from Joseph Fache, Santana High School ASB member.
Hello and good afternoon. I'd like to personally thank our Superintendent Mitchell and President Friedman for having me. Last month, I'm really sorry for not showing up. I promise it wasn't me trying to avoid the board meeting. So it's been a pretty busy last couple months for Santana High School, particularly the month of February. We began with an assembly, which is named the Positive Behavioral Interventions and Support Assembly. It was hosted by our Mr. Daniels and Mr. Holt. We implemented the PBIS system as well integrated as we could with the SOAR program, and SOAR stands for Show You Care, Openly Trust, Act Responsible, and Respect Self and Others. We explained how our SOAR dollar system worked, where we awarded students for good behavior around the class and campus, and we had a generally positive rally where we were glad to see positive results among all students. And on January 30th, 2019, we had our PSSP program, which was the Personalized School Success Plan, which was when administration met with the Assistant Superintendent of Educational Services, Dr. Matilda Zamora, and they worked out a generalized school vision, the goals, strengths, and areas of needed support for Santana as a high school. The administration found many issues with Santana that needed to be addressed, and they are working it into their PSSP program. Some of these issues include students coming to Santana far too late, lack of flexibility in credit recovery programs, and student awareness of their current credit recovery status. And the administration is hoping that this PSSP program can work to alleviate those current issues in Santana. Our pennies for patients concluded last month, and we raised just about $200. We did a fundraiser for school programs for ASB in general following our next assembly, where we sold pizza. We raised about $100 in general funding for our ASB program. For the blood drive, we facilitated it. We collected over 22 units of blood, and we are currently selling our tickets for grad night, which is a trip to California Adventure and Disneyland for $140, which we hope to see many students attend and enjoy their last night with their seniors, or well, not last night, but their celebration, yes. We are also, on February 27th, we brought Yamin Salahuddin, an attorney who was our president for a day, and he got to see how the school worked with Mr. Perez, and he got associated with the students of Santana. Also, on February 27th, we had our community college workshop where students were able to view their path following their transition to community college, and we also had an informational meeting about the FAFSA and how to get guaranteed benefits from the state. Also, on February 27th and March 11th, the Santana staff visited the High Tech High to do some adult learning on project-based learning to help assist in their ability to teach the students and better guide them towards a better future. The annual Santana Career Fair is approaching very quickly and will take place on March 27th, and we hope to see a lot of engagement from our students and officials alike. And finally, on April 25th, Santana will gladly host their first mental health fair. As a school, we are looking forward to educating and taking away the stigma associated with mental health, and we're hoping to better the lives of our students as a whole. And that will conclude my informational speech.
Joseph, just want to say on behalf of the board, you did an outstanding job. I'm really happy to learn about what's going on in Santa Ana. In the PBIS assembly, we haven't heard a student say it's the greatest, so that was good to hear for the board. And it was really nice about rewarding good behavior. And thank you so much again. We really appreciate you coming. Thank you. Okay, Catlin Anciano, Nogales High School ASB Junior Class President, will provide a report next.
Good evening, Madam President, Superintendent Dr. Mitchell, members of the board, and members of the audience. My name is Caitlin A. Anciano, and I am here today to represent Nogales High School. In the month of February, going into March, our ASB junior class sold about 500 Valentine grams, looking beautifully around the campus. We then move on Kindness Week, which took place February 18th to February 22nd. We had posters with kind messages around the school, messages going out on our social media, and ASB students creating a change towards a positive movement, plus our Spirit Week had a very good participation. Tuesday was Hero Day, Wednesday was Floral Day, Thursday was Crazy Mix Match Day, and Friday was Don't Be Mellow, Wear Yellow. On Thursday, February 21st, was our annual blood drive hosted by our very own ASB student sophomore cabinet, which took place at the gym from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. We had over 100 signups and collected enough donations to see the local hospitals pull through the summer. With this, we also secured 2 scholarships for our seniors. In the month of March, the ASB class started getting ready for the Clash of Classes rally, which is taking place March 22nd at 2 p.m., as well as including our food fest. The whole student body is really excited for the battles of nobles. Who knows which class will win? All we know is each class has the potential. From March 18th to 22nd, we will be holding a dodgeball tournament for the upcoming rally. Classes will be going up against each other, and the winning class will go up against a group of teachers. Obviously, the students will win. This concludes the month's announcement. Thank you for your time.
Oh, wait, 1 second. Caitlin? I just, on behalf of the board, we want to say thank you very much for letting us know what's happening and about all the different activities and everything. And good luck if you think the students are going to beat the staff, okay, from us. Take care. Thank you. Next, we will receive a staff report from Miriam Kim, Director of Community Relations and Outreach. I will turn it over to Dr. Mitchell at this time.
So we have Miriam Kim with us this evening to share a little bit about the work that she has been doing in the community and reaching out in Roland to increase some services to our families where they live. So,
okay, my pleasure. Good evening, Board President Friedman, board members, Dr. Mitchell, cabinet members. I really am excited to be here tonight to talk to you about the things that we've been working on. I'm not sure if it'll go into presentation mode. Right there, where it says next to the J. Keep going to your right. No, a little more. Right there.
Okay.
So this is truly the extension of the innovative learning that's happening here in Roland and the needs that have come out from our families, our community members, based on all the conversations and the meetings and the LCAPs, all of that that's coming out. So it first started off with the Saturday learning experiences for our students. We had a captive audience when they were dropping off their children. Some did try to run away and get some errands done on a Saturday, which I totally understand. But we had parents coming to us from, so far we've had it at Jellic, Northam, and Telesis. Our last one will be at Blandford. But the parents came in because they had questions about math. Remember when we switched over to Common Core and all of that? Well, there's still some lingering things about why we do math the new way. And so I gave a presentation on the number sense, on counting collections, and the mindset around math, having a growth mindset. And then I actually had parents use the manipulatives and count as it, like their children would. And they were very surprised with the way things are being done in the classrooms now. I had them go back down memory lane and remember what it was like for them when they were in math class. And they said, oh, we had to sit in rows. We had to be really quiet. We couldn't ask questions. I said, okay, it's totally opposite now. Everything that you just said, we're not doing in the classrooms. Kids are encouraged to ask questions. Kids are encouraged to get up and use manipulatives and access technology, all of those things. So, and we also had translators in the home languages so every parent could access the presentation. Then from the Saturday learning, we moved on to other parent learning opportunities. Now, here's the interesting thing. I did a query. I had the assessment help me with this because queries are not my thing. And as we look at the apartments, I made a list of our apartments that have quite a few of our students who live in them. I found out that many of our apartments sometimes do not return phone calls when I leave messages. So that means get in your car and knock on the door. So got in the car, knocked on the door. The first apartment that responded to me when I went in was the Palms Apartments on Batson. And if you look at the picture at your top right, that's one of the parents that attended that evening. And that evening was on literacy. And we did a demonstration of a reading workshop lesson. We had the parents, obviously you see right there, bring their children in. We had them write in a journal their dreams for their children. And they truly appreciated this time because they were saying how they can't get to the sites. Even though it's so close to them, for whatever reason, they're not able to get to the sites. So they appreciate it. And this mom who's sitting right there, she said, it makes me feel like I have hope for my girls. If you look at the picture at the bottom, those are some of the residents from the Driftwood Apartments on Dora Guzman Avenue next to Hurley. And the most recent query shows we have 317 of our students who just live on that one street. So that's quite a few of our students, everywhere from TK all the way through our senior year. And you can see in that little room, we are spilling out. And so that apartment manager, and I actually got to meet the owner as well of the buildings. He has eight of them. They are very supportive of what we want to do in their home community, so much so that he says if this keeps happening and we keep getting bigger numbers, he's even looking to build a bigger space in one of his back parking lots. And one of the managers actually went to the La Puente Council or to see how much it would cost to pull permits or something to do something like that. So they're serious about this partnership. So again, a great time that we had. So this one on a different night, and these all take place on a Friday night because parents may be busy throughout the week, working, babysitting, any of those things. So this one was a partnership with the Foothill Family Health Clinic. The director came along with me, and we had 24 parents come in because mental health is an issue. And sometimes they don't feel very comfortable speaking about this topic, or they're not sure where to turn. And sometimes the hours that the health clinic provides, no, they can't access those hours. And at the end of the session, I even stated, we'll be here a little bit longer. If there's something that's more of a personal nature that you want to talk to this director for one-on-one, we can do that as well. And there were two parents who took advantage of that. I'm not sure exactly what they spoke of, but they had that opportunity. So again, talking about how what we can do at the schools, how we can partner, and what you can do as parents and how you can access these resources. Again, for families, for whatever reason, not able to come to our sites to get the support they need. So then as I spoke with the parents, one of the concerns that came up too was it's very difficult for them to get to the La Puente Library. It's far for them. They don't have transportation. So speaking with the apartment owner, I asked if I could put a bookcase in the management office. He said, let's do something better than that. I said, what do you have that's better? So we walked the apartment complex, and there are three laundromats that he has access to. So we are going to put three bookcases in the three laundromats. Mathis Brothers has already agreed to donate the bookcases, and we're going to fill them with books because I think you do laundry at least once a week. I know I feel like I do it every day at my house, but at least once a week, and when the kids come, there'll be books in the laundromats that they can have access to. There'll be English books, Spanish books, books from TK all the way through adult reading. So that's another way we're bringing access to literacy and learning, the innovative learning, to Roland. Now, the tutoring center. So this is another thing that came up from the families. It's hard to access tutoring. Some of our students, they have to get home right away. Sometimes they help with babysitting. Whatever it is that they need to do, they can't always get the tutoring support that they need. So, again, speaking with the owner of the Driftwood Apartments, I said, I have students here who need support in tutoring. Is there a room you can give me if I create something? So we walked around, and one of the rooms, I'll show you a picture in a moment, before it was transformed, it was this old storage area. The floor was just terrible. There was water on it. The walls were bad. It was all enclosed with one dark little door. And he says, you know what? I have this room. It's not very big. Let me see what I can do with it. I said, okay, you go ahead and you do something with that. So in the meantime, I queried students, the high school students who lived on Dora Guzman, who attend Nogales High School. So I took the students who had GPAs from 2.5 and above, and I invited those students to come to an initial meeting to generate, just to see if they would be interested in something like this. I said, you could be tutors, you could get community service hours, you're doing it in your, where you live, you don't have to worry about transportation, and you're giving back, you're helping out your community. So of the 45, 24 signed up to commit. I'm going back for an in-depth session with them to train them how to be the tutors. So it's for our kids, by our kids. And IKEA has donated some furniture for us to put into this room. And so that, you see the picture right there, those were the students who first came just to check it out. And even there were boys who decided to sign up for it too, which was, I thought that was great. We have some boys, because we do need some good, you know, boy role models here. It's not just, you know, for girls, but everybody can do this. So again, we're filling a need. Parents can have their children tutored in their homes, not in their homes, in an area where they live. And everybody wins on this. So that's the room. He totally transformed it. He put in these new floors, put in brand new walls, painting, ceiling fan. What you see right there is a huge patio door that he put in as well. So completely transformed this. And so we'll be using that space for our future tutoring center on in the Driftwood Apartments. And that's one of the evenings on Dora Guzman where we did the literacy night. And you see that the parents are modeling and doing the lesson that was just demonstrated for them with their children. And then each parent received that book to keep and take home and continue the learning at home. So that's just some of the things that have been happening since we've been reaching out.
On behalf of the board, thank you, Miriam, for making all those connections, and all the students are so lucky to have that opportunity. Thank you. Angelina?
I just want to say thank you for that presentation. It's amazing what you've been doing, but I'm not really surprised at some of the connections and things that you've made. I just want to commend you on the community outreach that you're doing. I know not too long ago I spoke with Dr. Mitchell about a rumor that was going around about the health curriculum, and she put you on it, and you immediately talked to all those parents, gave them the truth of what was going on, and they were so thankful to have the real information. And just by you going out, and not only did you talk to the parents, but you addressed it with several community leaders as well. So I just want to say thank you for all of the outreach that you're doing and the connections that you're making with our parents and with the community leaders to make sure that they have these opportunities, that they have the opportunity to ask about rumors that they hear, and they know what's going on in Roland Unified School District. So thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah,
I
just want to ditto what Ms. Pride said. And as far as the parents that are here in the audience, the idea of having that little portable library in the laundromat, anybody can set up a library at their home. We have one at our house. It's a little schoolhouse wooden box that's outside by our house by the parkway. And we have people coming every day to get books, to exchange books. They drop off new books. They take new books, and we have a little bench next to it. Some of them will sit there and read the books, and you'd be amazed how popular those little libraries become, and it generates its own books by people that utilize it. So think about it if you want to start one at your house. Just let me know. I can guide you in the direction on how to do it, and it really is, for some kids, it's the first time they've had a book. You know, they never had a book to take home with them, so thank you for doing that.
My pleasure.
Lynn?
Ditto for the thanks. I have one question about the tutoring sessions. Is the district responsible to do any chaperoning during the tutoring sessions, or how do they work?
So what I'm going to work out is, for these little mini tutoring sessions, there'll be a bench right outside the door that's totally open, visible. The parent must stay there while the child is being tutored. I will be training the students and letting them know this is not a babysitting session. If parents drop their child off, we'll give them a warning, and then if they continue to do this, they will not be able to access these services, because again, these are just students donating their time, being volunteers, and that's too much of a burden to put on them. So it will require the parents to sit right there.
Good. The other thing I wanted to say is that Miriam Kim is wearing a different hat than she used to wear, and she's in a new position. Could you tell us a little bit about exactly what you do, Miriam, so the audience can be more familiar? We can see part of it, of course.
Right, I get that all the time. They look at me and go, so you're now what? I said, so the official title, Director of Outreach and Community Relations, again, is, again, just like Ms. Pride has said, is reaching out and finding ways to connect our families and our community members to us in non-traditional ways, and having the time and ability to go out and meet them where they are, where sometimes they're most comfortable, they're not able to come to us, reaching out to business partners, providing opportunities that maybe were not available to families in the past. And again, just being that listening ear, and after hearing what they have to say, coming back and maybe creating something, maybe a new idea, a new plan. Just it's all very exciting.
Well, you're doing a great job. And we want to thank you, and we'll be glad to hear some more of your ideas
yes.
as they come up.
Yes.
Carrie?
Yeah, the library and laundromat and the tutoring program is excellent idea. Yes. And the mental health night is also an excellent idea. And I'd like to share with you, besides the mental health, I think, there are some other topics you may to consider is like a suicide prevention, and the family, the relations with parents and the kids, and that remind me of some the campus school shooting. The kids has a lot of pressure, but the parents doesn't know about what the kids doing it at home. So I think we need to more educate the parents to observe the kids' behavior so we can prevent it.
Right.
So,
right.
So that would be a suggestion for you to expand that, the topic to that area. The tutoring program, that's excellent. And I think it's going to be part of the school district activity. Is our liability insurance covered because the activity taken outside of the campus? So this risk management had to evaluate that situation?
I have not had a chance to dialogue with risk management, but because the parents will be right next to the children, they won't be leaving the children, mm-hmm. and there'll always be more than one person in that. It's actually a very small right. little room with
Anything
a huge,
could
huge
happen,
door.
So I just right. want to know.
So yeah. there won't be a child left with a high schooler. The parent will be right there. There'll be at least two high schoolers each time based on their schedule and how they sign up.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is something where we are facilitating, mm-hmm. but it is not something that we are in charge of. And so we're working with the parents, mm-hmm. and the parents are having this connection with a neighbor because mm-hmm. all the students live in the same complex.
Right.
And so there is some connection, obviously, to the school district and the work that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And should there be an issue, but that was, again, where the owner took that also very seriously and took a very dark room, put a large sliding glass mm-hmm. door in it, a window, lots of thoroughfare for, mm-hmm. for people to see. And parents do need to stay because it is not a babysitting service.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. Right. Okay. And the another question is the you reach out to the apartment buildings and don't forget about the mobile home parks.
Right. Right. Yeah. That's on the list.
Yeah. On the, okay. Thank you for
yes.
doing that. Thank you very much.
And Miriam, we talked and you told me all about this, and that's why I wanted to have you come here and tell the community and the rest of the board members. And even though you told me I was so excited today, I was again so excited to hear everything that's happening and so wonderful. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Okay, Dr. Mitchell, are there any comments this evening?
Yes, we do.
Oh. Please note the public is welcome to provide comment to the board. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes unless extended or limited by vote of the board. A maximum of 20 minutes unless extended by the board is allocated for each subject discussed. The Brown Act open meeting regulations under which the board must operate do not allow board members to comment on non-agenda items or information you may bring up that are not in the agenda. Additionally, no action can be taken. However, the board may give direction to staff following a comment. Shay Lohman.
Board, I thought I was gonna be lucky enough to get to go after Mr. Flores' presentation on the budget, but I'm going first. But I wanted to just really thank Mr. Flores and his department, Dr. Mitchell, for the communication, and Mr. Bixler in HR, of course, for the communications around the budget development, changes that get made, how it impacts us. Mr. Flores, his team, Audrey, they're always looking at how to get the resources where they need to be, and we appreciate that work. So I look forward to the presentation and the continued work together. So thank you.
Thank you. Yan Hong Chen.
Dear Mr. Superintendent Michelle, dear school board, dear every parents, so we appreciate that give us a opportunity to express what we are wondering. Thank you. Today we want to say, so please let me use in Chinese because the follow-up words are very serious. I can't speak well in English. 我们从其他资源得到一个学区将遵循 AB329决议执行性教育计划。我们看了内容非常震惊 surprise。我们认为这不一定是这个阶段的孩子应该接触的。孩子成长成熟，有早有晚，顺其自然。教材中。
But when they understand what is that, what's the contact upper time and the age,
for the kids.
I think everything should come from the natural. Even I have the 4 years old kids. So, 教材中关于疾病防范我们可以接受，但是有关性生活的部分，不是每一个孩子都成熟到可以接受的程度。
So the content regarding the disease transmission that's assessed education, a lot of information inside the curriculum, parents think that's not a right time.
我们家长非常愿意有责任心去保护我们的自己孩子，有享有权利选择教育孩子的方式。我今天代表一个群，我们罗兰海斯关心的家长，希望学区给予我们一个说明会。
So they want to take this advantage tonight that the parent meeting to explain what is that and what's the policy for the district. The parent would like to choose their own way to educate their children.
所以我代表我们罗兰海的华人家庭，我们想非常知道，非常想知道学区计划是要如何执行这个法令。I heard of that law. So 我们家长有什么选择？以及有什么机会可以帮助我们家长修改一下这个法令？谢谢。
She understand that that's a state law that every but the parent they would like to work with the district to see if there's any options that the parent can support the student under the school. Parent would like to understand that is any other better suggestions that at the same time the school implement the plan by the parent choices or options in the way that they think that were the best to the students.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Next one.
Thank you. Vivian is Zihavo.
Good evening, Superintendent Mr. Mitchell. Good evening, board members and people in Roland High community. My name is Vivian. I'm a teacher in upper school in Roland Heights, and also I'm a parent of a 14-year-old girl who studied in Alvarado Intermediate School. My daughter attended Killian Elementary School and Alvarado Intermediate School. Recently, the same topic to that parent. I heard many of my Chinese friends talking about the new health curriculum, which is going to be initiated in California very soon. After knowing the contents and the pictures and a lot of details in the new health curriculum, I was shocked. My daughter grew up in a very traditional Chinese family in which three generations of people have their religious belief. The fact is most of the contents in the new textbook are totally against to the core cultural value and religious traditions of our family. And I bet, you know, they are also against to many Roland Heights residents. Believe. I am concerned that the new health curriculum isolated and excluded many students for their beliefs and their traditional family education. People's beliefs should be respected, and it is what make up their identity. So the new curriculum is, I think, against the natural law of growth of kids. Chinese philosopher Confucius once said, there are three admonitions or three things we shouldn't do as a superior man, or we should guard against throughout a whole life of growing process. Number one is when the physical powers of, or step of use are not yet settled, he should guard against lust. It is true to teach kids to respect everyone. However, the lack of regard for diverse thoughts is not the democratic American I know. So this instruction, I mean, AB 329 of sexual education, I think, completely ignore the feeling of many residents and many immigrants here in Roland High. Our case, especially elementary school students, are too young to be exposed to the content under the topic of like homosexual, transgender, etc. So, yes, to understand the diversity of the society is essential, is very essential to young adults to protect themselves from crimes like sexual harassment and avoid social diseases is very is of vital importance. Of vital importance, I think it is also the school and family's duty to teach them the related safety knowledge. But what a new textbook provided is too much for school kids to know. It has gone too far, I think.
far beyond the elementary school students' ability to accept. So, thank you so much.
I'd like to just take a minute. Our president, our board president, Mrs. Friedman, had shared, the board is not able to comment on topics that are not on the agenda. So the board has heard your comments. This is something that we have spoken a great deal about. And so on behalf of the board, I believe that I can share that they are aware of this topic. And as a district, we will not implement a new curriculum until we have spoken and worked with our parents. We have Frank Chang, who's our director of secondary education, that is with us here in the audience. And I know Miriam Kim, who you met, who presented earlier, has had a parent night. We had a parent information session yesterday. There is another one that is scheduled. I lost the date. It's next week. And we have those flyers, what we can get for you, so you have that information. But there is no new textbook, and there is no changes that have happened in our classrooms. We have not changed anything in our classroom. We will be compliant with the law because we have an obligation to do so. But I can assure you we will not implement new curriculum until we have had the opportunity to share with parents, and parents have had an opportunity to voice their interests and their concerns. Parents also always have the opportunity to opt out if what we are teaching is something that you would prefer to teach at home. I do know that that perhaps there's some folks in the audience. Mr. Chang is available to speak, not to translate for me, I got it, to speak out in the hallway should you have any follow-up questions, and Miriam Kim is available as well. And my Chinese is not good. Your English is far better. So perhaps someone could also share in Chinese my message. I would appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Mitchell. Okay, we will move on to the discussion action items on the agenda. The first item is 6A. Can I have a motion and a second to receive the second interim report and certify that the district will meet its financial obligation for the remainder of the 18-19 fiscal year and the next two subsequent fiscal years?
I make a motion.
Okay, I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Mitchell.
So perfect. So Mr. Flores is getting his presentation all warmed up, and he will take you through our second interim report and then prior to your voting. You ready? You're on.
I'm ready. It's kind of hard to follow Miriam Kim when she talks about all these exciting things that are taking place, and it's just great to see that the vision and direction of the board and the superintendent reaching out to the community is being fulfilled, and it's really nice, but bear with me. I'm here talking about some numbers for you. So, Madam Board President Friedman, Vice President Malcolm, board members, Dr. Mitchell, cabinet, and audience, thank you for allowing me to make a presentation on the second interim. In this presentation, I hope to highlight the budget calendar, the purpose of the interim report, information from the governor's proposed budget, guidance for the multi-year projections, and variances in the first interim. The budget is a living document, and the budget cycle is a process that is constantly in motion. As you can see, we are in the second interim reporting stage of the cycle. The budget cycle has two fiscal years that are always crossing over. As we look at the checklist of required reports, you will see that we are at the midpoint. The second interim is the fourth required report for the budget year. The next report will be the 19-20 budget. The second interim report is required by the California Department of Education. It shows actual expenditures from July 1st, 2018 to January 31st, 2019, and projections are based on those actual budgeted activities and other anticipated costs. The interim report illustrates whether the district will meet its financial obligations for the current year and two subsequent years. There are three report certifications. The goal is always positive. Positive, a district will meet its fiscal obligations for the current and two subsequent years. Qualified, districts may not meet its fiscal obligations for the current and two subsequent years. And unfortunately, in the state of California, there's been a rise in qualified certifications. And negative, the district will not meet its fiscal obligations for current and two subsequent years. This table shows the adopted budget for information only and also calculates changes in the first interim report and this second interim report. From this slide, we can see both revenue and expenditures have increased in the first interim since the first interim. And I think this is a portion of why maybe both unions wanted to come and speak. One of the practices we have here is open communication, so there's no surprises. And the increase in the revenue is $1.5 million was due to increase of unduplicated account percentage, which resulted in additional supplemental concentration funds. LCFF is fully funded, and this additional amount is a result of the hard work of our dedicated staff members. This year, 7 schools in our district participate in the CEP breakfast and lunch program. CEP schools have over 62.5% of directly certified students enrolled. All students receive free breakfast and lunch, and meal applications are not used. Dr. Mitchell gave me the task to receive information from all non-directed certified students. This was a team effort. Fiscal, nutrition services, school safety, FRC, school offices, principals, and our assessment office. Multiple targeted approaches were explored, resulting in an increase of 2% of our targeted unduplicated students. It was a big task, and I want to thank a lot of people who are here. I want to thank first Dr. Mitchell for her patience, because this was a regular discussed item, either in my weekly meeting or our cabinet meetings. And we try different approaches, because when you're not successful one time, you try something else, and you try something else until you are successful. And the patience of all the people that some people are here, like Rosanna, who helped even with the folding of some of the letters, because we sent self-addressed envelopes to our parents. For Laurel, working with our FRC and having her FRC staff go out personally to homes and knock on doors and ask them and tell them about the importance of turning the applications in, the surveys. Brian and his staff for their patience for rerunning the numbers so we can recertify our LCAP numbers. Aubrey, just for dealing with me, of course, and saying, Aubrey, this is our budget. We need to work on this. And just his patience and working together with Maria Davila also, who's not here tonight, who was instrumental also, because this is really not part of nutrition services, but she took on the task and tried to quarterback it with us also. So it was a team effort, and our students here will receive $1.5 million more to help them in their academic achievement. So I want to thank the people who are here and the people that I mentioned. The district also has an increase in encroachment of special education, which in results decreases our revenue because the way we have to report it to the state by $873,000. Additional expenditures have been added to the second interim report for the following: additional intervention assistants, behavioral coaches, supplemental classroom material relating to reading, writing, and phonics, updated computer equipment for district-wide, increased safety disaster preparedness supplies, and additional white fleet vehicles for transportation. In the following slides, I will elaborate in further details the cost of these additional expenditures. As presented at the last study session, it is the recommendation to hire 3 certificated behavioral coaches and 8 additional intervention assistants. I know from last year's reaction from the board, I think we wanted to restart last week, but we had to put it in our budget first. And this will cost around $485,000 for salaries and benefits for the 18-19, because it's not the full year. But for next year, 19-20, it would be $971,000 for these additional positions. Other expenses related to support the academic achievement of our students were added to the second interim. To support our reading and writing focus schools, units of studies in both reading and writing for teachers are planned to be purchased. total cost of $68,000. Additional books and supplies for libraries to work with the teachers, with the reader's workshop, approximately a cost of $136,000. Finally, since our current textbook adoption does not address phonics, we would like to provide each primary grade teacher additional supplies to assist students in phonemic awareness. Under Dr. Zamora and Dr. Rodriguez's direction, teacher input will be gathered before purchasing phonemic awareness materials. Our support staff across the district is in need of updated computer equipment. The approximate cost of these 200 non-classroom computers will cost $275,000. This figure also includes additional staff support to configure and to install the computers. The district is also in need of additional disaster preparedness and safety supplies. It's estimated $200,000 will be able to purchase search and rescue bags, first aid supplies, portable toilets, shipping containers for storage, long-term water storage containers, and food supplies to last 3 days for all students and staff. Finally, the transportation department will be purchasing 12 new vehicles. It's for the white fleet for our maintenance and operation, at least six of them. And we're happy to report that finally the state vendor that we use has CNG trucks that we can use in our fast fuel pumping. So six CNG trucks and six other vehicles will be determined at a later point will be purchased. And I do want to thank the board again, Dr. Mitchell, because this is an addition to the six vehicles for the white fleet that the board purchased in December. The second portion of this second interim is the multi-year projections. The county office, they basically want to see the district will remain fiscally solvent for the next 2 years. In January, the governor released his proposed 1920 budget. Some of the highlights were an increase in COLA percentage of 3.46% for 1920 and 2.86% for 2021. There are no planned one-time funds at this time. It was also announced that there is a proposed reduction in the CalSTRS rate, but it's still pending approval. The reduction is not included in our multi-year projections. So I want to make that clear. We did not put the new rates until we know that they're materialized and they'll be in there. So if they do, there'll be a savings there. Here are the assumptions used for the multi-year projection. For revenue, the gap money, we're fully funded. Again, the COLA that I mentioned, in 1920, 3.46, 2021, 2.86. Lottery is 151 ADA for unrestricted and 53 for restricted. For expenditures, we are including a 3.18% of the consumer index, $11,000 for medical cap, and 1% for step and column. I'm happy to share that our multi-year projection reflects a balanced budget. Please note this balanced budget reflects assumptions of some decrease in expenditures to minimize the effect of the decrease in revenue. In 1920, our revenue will decrease by approximately $2 million. In 2021, revenue will decrease an additional $2 million. We do project an increase in our ending balance by $58,000. This year, $600,000 next year, and $212,000 the following year. Do want to note the decline in revenue is related to decline in enrollment. Since we're fully funded, the only offset that we'll have for the decline in enrollment and also for the increases in services is our COLA. And if you can hear this a lot, COLA isn't enough. So let's talk to our state legislatures. The ending balance is a little bit over $31 million. The ending fund balance is assigned for future possible obligations in different areas. For example, decline enrollment, STRS and PERS, instructional program materials, safety issues, technology, and equipment replacement. This table shows the difference in ending fund balance assignments from the adopted budget to the second interim. The most notable difference are the decrease of $3 million in the fund set aside for STRS and PERS. As we get close to the milestone of the STIRS and PERS, and there's a discussion of relief, we want to move the money to the possible areas where we were going to need. And as I just shared about the COLA not being enough to offset the loss from decline enrollment, we increased decline enrollment by $1 million. Technology for ongoing, another $1 million. Replacement of equipment, $1.1 million. And for instructional programs, $1 million, as we still have two large adoptions to undertake in science and social science. Again, this is ending balance, and ending balance are typically used for one-time expenses, not ongoing expenses like salaries. Because once your reserve is gone, you can't pay ongoing expenses. So these are primarily for one-time expenses. Actually, they always should be. Before I conclude, I'd like to thank Aubrey Craig, Director of Fiscal Services, Corey Duran, Accounting Supervisor. She was here tonight, but she just announced that she's expecting. So we said we'll give you the night off. And the entire fiscal department, who worked diligently to prepare the second interim. I also would like to thank the board and Dr. Mitchell for the quest of transparent fiscal information for our community. By having this expectation, which is also the goal of the fiscal department, it becomes a district expectation for all departments. This fiscally prudent culture that you and Dr. Mitchell have created allows me to recommend to you, the board, to receive Roll and Unified Second Interim Report with a positive certification and to be submitted to Los Angeles County of Education for their approval. And at this time, where's Aubrey? We'll take some questions.
David?
I have a comment from a person who uses transparency as a buzzword. I just want to thank you for your transparency. And, you know, these reports are comprehensive. They're easy to understand for a layperson. And they give all the information we need to know. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
Lynn?
I was told once that should there be another big problem in the state where we were not receiving state funds, that our reserves, although it sounds like a lot of money, would pay for maybe 3 months worth of salaries. Is that about right?
I would have to calculate it, but it's around like 4 months of a payroll to make. So it gets consumed. And it goes back again to the late John Bennett saying that some school districts, like I talked about the qualified, when you make bad decisions in good economical times, it comes back to get you. And we're very fortunate that we make good times. But at the same time, you see of all the great things that we're increasing, as we do here in partnership with our associations and the community about positions, like the last study session, about different positions that we would like to bring to the forward to support our staffs, that we do make the adjustments to see where we can go and not deficit spend. Because the goal is not to deficit spend so that we can have that reserve. As insignificant it may be, the $58,000 that it's going to grow, it's in the right direction from it instead of going negative.
As a member of the board, I appreciate, I think it's on page 9, your slide about behavioral intervention staff, adding that, because that's been a cry we've been hearing from our staff and our teachers, and that you've been able to think about and implement this moving forward is a wonderful thing.
Well, I can't take credit for that. That's the direction of the Dr. Mitchell cabinet and, of course, the board. I think there were some questions, can we already get started? And that's also that communication that the associations also have with Dr. Mitchell and with the board and a partnership that we have, positive partnership.
Thank you very much for your report.
Any other questions? Carrie?
The governor's budget, is it from the previous administration?
No, this is the new governor. The new governor's proposed budget. It was his first. Yes.
Have they ever resolved the issue about what a reserve should be percentage-wise? I know a while back there had been a lot of controversy over that.
It's still there, but maybe not as much as controversial. There's some triggers that need to take place, and they haven't taken place. I'm not sure if they haven't taken place strategically, but they haven't taken place, and we still have our reserves assigned, so we'll be fine.
The vehicle, the 12 vehicles, are they replacing the old one or additional?
No, they will be replacing. We have a replacement guide, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, we're catching up because several years ago, vehicles were not being replaced. So the board took action about 2 years ago to replace several white fleet vehicles. We still needed around 12 to replace in the maintenance and operations side. But we know that there was an interest for us to try to go to CNG, to use CNG as a cost savings and to test those vehicles also. And so they were not available. So we only purchased 6 of the 12 that were needed. And they just got online like a month ago. So we'll be purchasing those so we can test it and we can see if it's cost savings for us as we move forward and to utilize the fast fuel pump. Mm-hmm.
Any more questions? Thank you so much, and we're really happy there's a positive certification. Thanks to all your hard work, yours and your team. Thank you very much. Okay, we're ready for a vote then. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 6B. Can I have a motion and a second to review and accept the 2017-2018 Measure R 2006 and Measure R 2012 General Obligation Bonds Financial and Performance Audits as submitted by NIGRO and NIGRO PC.
I make a motion.
I second.
Are there any questions?
I'd just like to read something into the minutes. And that's basically the statement that the audit confirmed that the district has properly accounted for the expenses of the funds held in the bond building fund, Measure R 2006 and 2012. And that such expenditures were made on authorized bond projects, and there were 0 audit findings.
Mm-hmm. We also have a representative from NIGRO and NIGRO. We have Peter Glenn that's with us this evening. If you'd like to come to the podium in case the board has any questions or if there's any information you'd like to share.
Okay. Check, check. Good evening. It's nice to be here again. In behalf of NIGRO NIGRO, my name is Peter Glenn. I'm one of the partners at the firm, and I'm here to briefly cover some of the highlights for the 2006 and 2012 Measure R bond. I know you've already had a chance to look at it and discuss it and accept it. So what I just wanted to do this evening is just go over some of the highlights, if I could. The first thing, and really what you get out of an audit, is an independent opinion by a professional organization like ours, or a CPA firm that's required to have that done annually under the Proposition 39, which is what these two measures were. So in our opinion, the financial information is fairly stated, and there were, as was mentioned before, no findings in relation to any of the expenditures, and everything that was tested was verified that it was part of the measure, the intent of the measure, the measures. Sorry, the 2006 bond funds were fully expended. So if you looked at your page 4 and also your page 5. You'll notice there in page 4, the left-hand side where you've got your balance sheet for your funds, it's all zeros all the way down. So that basically everything's gone there. And but you still have activity now in your 2012 Measure R. And so that's shown on that side. In your next page, 2005, kind of shows you your page 5, 2006, shows your activity in both measures. And you can see that to start the year in the 2006 bond, you had some $12 million in that fund balance. That was all expended, as you can see, from the interest earnings, and then everything was spent on projects. And so that's why now there's that zero ending fund balance there. But again, still in that other measure, the 2012. There's still activity there, and there's still fund balance for projects going forward from that June 30th of 2018 date. And again, I always like to throw out there that this is a snapshot of what things looked like at June 30, 2018. And of course, you've moved on from there. So things would look very different if we took a snapshot of it today, wouldn't they? One of the notes I just wanted to kind of bring out in the information here, you can see in note four, some of the information there. It shows you that all of the bonds authorized in the first measure there, the 2006 one, have been issued and now have been expended. And then measure R, it tells you how much of the bonds remain to be issued. So that's kind of an interesting thing as you think forward and you look at, okay, what kinds of projects could we maybe attack in the future? There's resources available that I'm sure that everyone's aware of and the committee's aware of.
What page is that on?
That is on page 9. So we have both measure R's there, the 6 and the 12, shown, and then the end of that very first paragraph on the 2012. Talks about that a little bit. That's pretty much the highlights for the notes, I would say. The last part of the report talks about some of the internal controls under government auditing standards that are reviewed, that are really used as a basis for some of our testing. And so that explains that process. And that there were no findings based on any of those governmental auditing standards, any internal control issues. And then finally, the last report, if you will, is the one on performance. And again, I kind of talked about that really quickly at the beginning. And that talks a little bit about the scope of the audit, a site that we visited, how many expenditures we tested in total, which was $7.2 million, some of which were from the 2006 and some of which were from the 2012. And that we again did not find anything to indicate that funds were being spent inappropriately, or such, which I'm sure is a relief. So you can have confidence that a third party has come in and done their due diligence and looked at the expenditures. So that's really all I have, but I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Lynn?
Do you do anything with the bond oversight, their notes or anything like that?
Do
you work with, I know you give them a report.
Yes. You know, so they get the same report, but we do, and correct, you know, help me if I'm not answering it right, but we do, before each audit starts, we sit down with usually the chairperson, and we kind of go over our processes, and we take, you know, questions. And we also ask them if there's any concerns, if there's any areas that they want us to look at, as we do members of the board with the regular district audit and the bond audit. So okay. We try to keep that communication going, and then we do a presentation with them as well. And Alex is usually present always present at those.
He's always there. Going back to page 5.
Sure.
We have a few members of our community that are very skeptical when it comes to money. And as board members, we too need to be not skeptical, but need to make sure that they understand. And they get nervous anytime they see salaries under the bond column. Right. And I know there are a few on page 5.
Yes.
And we've been told before these are all for bond-related salaries, people doing work for the bonds and the construction and that kind of stuff, and I just want you to assure us that that's still the case.
Yes, you are correct, and skepticism is great. We actually pride ourselves on being professionally skeptical, so skepticism is a good quality to have. And when it comes to salaries, we do ensure that the salaries are not for administrator or teacher salaries, like is in the Prop 39 language, and that any salaries are appropriate to the bond measure. And there's a really good pronouncement, really, by the Attorney General back in 2004, Bill Lockyer, I believe is how you pronounce his name, but in his opinion, that certain costs that were salary related that were related to bond funds, to bond projects, were allowable. Even though they're not administrator salaries, they're not teacher salaries, but they could be allowable because basically, if not for those bond costs, those expenses wouldn't exist. And so that's kind of the rationale we look at. And so if you would have had to go out and hire an independent contractor and pay that person to do something that could be done internally, then you could use your own people to do that kind of task. So that's really the rationale of that opinion, and that's something that we follow when we do our audits.
And then just one final question. Probably a year from now, when we get the audit for next year, mm-hmm. if our current high school project is finished, is that the time you'll be looking for change orders and things like that as part of your audit?
Yes. So we look at, when we do our contract testing, we review the contracts and we review the costs, and we see if there have been change orders, and we make sure that they don't exceed that 10%. That's under the public contract code.
Who's got a loose bird?
I think it's Miriam's.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? No? Thank you so very much. We really appreciate it. May I have a motion? Oh, no, we already did that. Now a vote. Could we please have a vote? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 6C. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the comprehensive school safety plans?
I make a motion.
Second.
Any questions or comments? I just wanted to say that when I reviewed some of the plans, all schools have 2 evacuation sites, that we have a crisis response plans, including many different things. There was administrative regulations on conduct, bullying, cyberbullying, and interventions. What I really liked is all of our schools, I think except one now, have had RUSD threat assessment for potential violence on suicide prevention handbook training. And some of our schools have keeping our schools safe, positive, and productive presentation. Giano had a bullying complaint record and resolution guide with follow-up dates and a notebook for all students. And we have a board policy 5157 that's positive school climate. Students have opportunities to voice their concerns about school policies, practices, and to share responsibility for solving problems that affect their school. There were student incentive programs listed, too. I found that very interesting. Okay, all in favor?
1 second.
Sorry.
I asked for comments first before I did it.
Sorry, more discussion. Okay, go ahead, Dave.
I just want to say that these safety plans are a work in progress, and that there's been an effort made to make more uniformity amongst them, especially in those areas where employees might transfer from one school site to another or one work site to another. And it'd be important that they can easily access and read these plans, and uniformity helps facilitate that transfer. And there's a list of things under Ed Code 32282 that's required in these safety plans district-wide, and I did check with Dr. Mitchell, and those things were included in there.
Terrific. I apologize. I wanted to go last. Okay. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carries. The next item is 6D. Can I have a motion and a second to accept the course of study as an alternative means of satisfying the RUSD World History graduation requirement for the students from Nogales High School who have or will successfully complete AP European History in 2017-18 or 2018-19?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
Any discussion or questions?
I do.
Okay.
Still trying to understand this. So who's going to be responsible for making sure that the world history curriculum is actually taught after the AP exam?
So this item was in this suggestion. Mr. Chang, I think he was around the corner, met with our teachers, and this was their suggestion that, and so it was initiated by them. It will also be monitored by them, the principals, and Mr. Chang. So the AP, for students who are enrolled in AP European History now or AP US History now, those students will have from the date of their AP exam to the end of the school year the teachers are collaboratively having conversations on the essential lessons or units that would be taught during that window of time that would cover world history content that is not covered in European history.
Right. I just have concerns about making sure that it actually happens in the way that it's supposed to happen.
Correct.
Why wasn't summer school an option for the 10th graders?
So when we looked at each of the transcripts for the students and what trajectory they're on, some of those students will be taking government and economics this summer, and then AP U.S. history next school year, and then they are in the IB history course as a senior.
What about the ninth graders?
Because ninth graders
some of them that are currently in the AP Human Geo.
Ninth grade, yes. Next year they'll go into world history. They will not take AP European history unless they take it as an elective course. So they'll go into world history as a 10th grader. So the board has already taken action on seniors.
Right.
This action this evening is for current sophomores and
right.
current juniors.
And how close are we to having a permanent resolution to make sure that this doesn't happen again?
So, and I know Mr. Chang is here and as well as Dr. Zamora, and from the meetings that they had, the solution is that from freshmen, and correct me if I'm wrong because you were the person in the meeting, so for our current freshmen, we'll take world history as a sophomore, and our incoming freshmen will take world history or potentially the option of AP Human Geography, so it will be corrected with our current ninth grade class. AP European History can continue to be offered, but it would be offered as an elective, as it is at Roland High School.
Okay,
am I correct, Mr. Chang? Did I capture that? All right, thank you.
Lynn? You mentioned the ninth graders, the current ninth graders?
Correct.
Isn't it corrected now for them?
So the current ninth graders, world history is typically a 10th grade course. So I believe what Ms. Pride was asking about is the current ninth graders are in AP, there are ninth graders that are in AP Human Geography, which is not a required course for graduation. They will go into 10th grade World History,
okay,
which is a required course.
So then after 2020, we should be able to move forward.
Well, with action this evening, we would be moving forward because we will have addressed current sophomores, current juniors, current seniors. Current freshmen will correct with the course selection they make in their sophomore year next year, so board action would not be needed. So I'd have to go back. So 2020 for our current juniors, 2021 is our current sophomores, 2022 is our current freshmen.
So can I be assured that I'm not going to see this back on the agenda?
I can tell you that staff will make every effort that that does not occur. Yes. We believe that we have captured all of our sophomores, juniors, and seniors, and that it will not be an issue for current freshmen.
Thanks.
Mr. Chang, correct?
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, let's vote. And those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 6E. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between the Roland Unified School District and California School Employees Association Chapter 133 related to Classified Summer Assistance Program?
I move.
Any questions or comments? I just want to say it was really good. It was nice that Sharon came to talk to us about this, and it's wonderful to know that 300 classified employees signed up for this. Okay. All in favor? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 6F. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the independent contractor agreement between the Roland Unified School District, Telesis Academy, and Wynn Education for the STEAM Challenge Program?
I move.
A second.
Are there any questions or discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I recuse myself.
Okay. Motion carries. The next item is 6G. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the independent contract chapter agreement between the Rowan Unified School District, Telesis Academy, and WIN Education for the Robotics Challenge Program.
I so move.
Are there any questions or discussion? No? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I recuse.
Okay, motion carries. The next item is 6H. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between Bassett USD, Hacienda La Puente USD, and Rowan USD for the rights and responsibilities of each member school district upon closure and dissolution of the La Puente Valley Regional Occupational Program?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
Are there any questions or discussion?
It's my understanding that all three parties that are involved in this are going to approve the same memorandum as far as distribution of funds.
Yes, Mr. Flores has been involved in all of those meetings, and so he can attest to the agreement that
That is correct.
Okay. I also want to say that it's from the reports that we received from the ROP board member meetings, for which I represent Roland, along with Ms. Friedman, is that the members from the three districts have been working very well together on the closeout and making it a lot easier to go through this tough process, and that LACO also is overseeing to make sure that everything's done correctly.
Yeah, Mr. Howling is very happy with the three of you working together, all three districts. Thank you very much, Alex. And today I saw him, and already everything's out of the office. It seems like a table, everything's being on auction. And so not this next week when we have our meeting, it will be there, but the next three will be at our different school districts. So we'll have one here in June, and we're going to be at Bassett and Hacienda La Puente. Because everything's already getting auctioned off, and so there's nowhere for us to sit by then. Okay. All right. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 6.1. Can I have a motion and a second to review and approve the draft Board of Education meeting schedule for 2019-2020?
I so move.
Second.
Are there any questions or discussion? Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Oh, any opposed? No. Motion carries. The next item is 6J. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the access agreement between the Rowan Unified School District and STC Dara LLC to allow STC to conduct a soil and groundwater investigation on the district's yard?
I so move.
Second.
Any questions or discussion? Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Sorry. Oh, any abstentions?
I abstain.
I'm so sorry. Thank you. Okay.
I'm on the board of STC Foundation.
Oh, I knew that. I should have known that. Okay. The next item is 6K. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the course Design Visual Media Arts 1 and adopt the textbook Non-Designers Design Book, 4th edition by Robin Williams?
I make a motion.
A second.
Are there any questions or discussion? I reviewed the book, and it looks very difficult, and they're going to be using it in 1, 2, and 3. So as you go, no wonder that's going to take 3 classes, but very difficult. All right. Those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries. The next item is 6L. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the course Design Visual Media Arts 2 and adopt the textbook Non-Designers Design Book, 4th edition by Robin Williams?
I make a motion.
I second.
Are there any questions or discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Motion carries. The next item is 6M. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the course Design Visual Media Arts 3 and adopt the textbook Non-Designers Design Book 4th edition by Robin Williams?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
Are there any questions or discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 6N. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the course Law Enforcement Academy?
I make a motion.
Are there any questions or discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 6-0. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the course Filipino 3 for the 2019-2020 school year?
I move.
Are there any questions or discussion? Those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 6P. Can I have a motion and a second to approve the contract agreement between the Roland Unified School District and Outreach Concern Incorporated for counseling services at K through 6 schools between September 1st, 2019 and June 30th, 2020?
I move.
I'll second.
Are there any questions or discussion?
I'd just like to comment on this, that this proposal, in addition to what Mr. Flores mentioned as far as additional behavioral intervention staff, I think will really enhance our services to our students, especially in the K through 6 category.
Okay, I also wanted to comment that this company is a nonprofit school-based counseling and founded in 1993. Currently, they're providing counseling and support to 894 schools throughout Southern California. Often families with no Medi-Cal insurance or private insurance do not have access to the counseling resources provided by outside agencies. Outreach Concern Incorporated counselors will provide counseling in K through 6 schools regardless of family's insurance, and they will also take all students, so not it doesn't matter whether they're in special ed or foster care or anything. What's so exciting is that they will provide 2 full days per week in all of our K through 6 schools. And from the results of before, that they found that 75% improvement in academic outcomes after they have counseling, 81 to 86% improvement on behavioral and social emotional outcomes. The counselors have received extensive training in trauma and are supervised by a regional field supervisor. Classroom and playground observations of students, counseling interns connect directly with parents, and there's a 24-hour crisis hotline available to students in English and Spanish, and group counseling and bullying, cutting, and anger management, etc. I think it's so terrific that we're going to do
that. Madam President, where did you get your statistics?
Pardon me?
Where did the statistics come from? Was it from their own website?
It's from the information I provided.
Okay. The information that we received. And I was really happy with all of that information. So, okay. All right. So those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. The next item is 6Q. Can I have a motion and a second to adopt resolution SO181912 proclaiming April 10th, 2019 as Adult Education Day?
I make a motion.
I second.
Are there any questions or discussion? No? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 6R. Can I have a motion and a second to approve resolution SO181913 proclaiming April 23rd, 2019 as School Bus Drivers Day?
I move. Second.
Are there any questions or discussion? Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. The next item is 6F. Can I have a motion and a second to receive for second reading the approval Board Bylaw 90051, Board Superintendent Protocols.
Second. This is just
okay,
to
I know
receive,
there's questions
right?
and discussion.
Okay.
Can we pull that one up again?
So while that's being pulled up, Ms. Ebbenkamp, just so you know, the motion was receive and approve. I believe that's what you had said. So I wanted
to said receive.
Okay, so that's why I'm clarifying too. So I
we have to wait.
No. I just the board agenda item is written receive and approve. Ms. Ebbenkamp asked for clarification if it's receive or approve, and so that was what I was attempting to clarify.
So it's receive and approve. The motion was not that. The motion was to receive.
Yeah, it was just to receive.
I, in a way, I would rather just receive it today because we had some
it
other...
It has approved. What you approved. Said was just receive. That's all I heard, too, was just receive. You read it.
Approve. Can I have a vote? Receive for a second reading. There is an approve on here. I should have said approve.
Yeah.
Oh, and approval.
Yeah.
Second reading and approval board bylaw.
I'm probably going to vote against it because I think we might need one more reading to make sure everything is the way we want. I had some change, Dr. Mitchell, since the last reading. And are they included in this at all, Dr. Mitchell?
No, because it should happen during discussion.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I have them, but I have them, but I did not include them because it needs to be a discussion. So if you need a copy, I have printed your copy for you.
Please.
Can you pull it up on screen? Thank you.
Okay.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Angelina.
Thank you. Number 3B. Mr. Malkin brought this up the last meeting, and after taking a break from it and looking at it again, I agree with him. I think that 3B should state the president and superintendent will evaluate new information to determine if further discussion is needed. Because the board president represents the board and what we have questions about. So I think it makes sense that it would say the president first because she's representing our concerns.
Mm-hmm. Agree with that.
On number six, where it says request should go through the superintendent, request for information requiring research. I don't know how my colleagues feel about this, but I think that it should read request should go through the superintendent with a CC to the president. And the reason why I think that should happen is because it's the board president's job to follow up with the superintendent to make sure, you know what's going on and stay in the loop and make sure that things are happening and that updates are being provided as well. But they can't do that if they don't know that a request has been made. So I think just a CC to the board president would make sense. That's just a thought. I don't know what you guys think.
I would agree with that. I'm always thinking of the worst-case scenario. Right now, I would have no problem with that, but down the road, I'm always thinking about the future, and I think that would make sense having it that way.
And then I would like to propose the same thing for 8B, come through to superintendent's office with a CC to the president. That's all I have.
I had a couple. On 3B, I'm sorry, 4, this is 4, where it says no votes and abstentions. I think it should be no votes, comma, abstentions and recusals.
Oh, yeah.
Can you tell me the number again?
4?
4B.
It's just next to 4, and then there is an A under
it. Yep.
It's next to 4.
Thank you.
And B, this is kind of nitpicky maybe, the president may clarify no votes whenever the no vote might be misinterpreted.
A.
I'm sorry, A. You're right.
4A.
But then B, I'm saying board members will have the opportunities to explain their own no votes, recusal votes, or abstention votes. So actually, in a way, we don't need A. We should probably just make B A and let the person who recuses or abstains clarify their vote or their no.
If I could interject, I think the A is different than B in that A is the president should clarify no votes whenever the no vote might be misinterpreted. So it's not asking for explanation, but if for the record there's any need for clarity, the president should seek clarity. No. but I think that, and again, this is all existing bylaw language. This isn't a change. So I didn't know if you had it. I don't know if there is a need. Your item, your suggestion under B is board members have the opportunity to explain their no vote. You've added recusal or abstention votes. If there is, again, going back to A, if the president should clarify no votes whenever the no vote might be misinterpreted, the only thing that I can think of is if the no vote, let's use tonight as an example. Mrs. Ebenkamp had shared, if this was for which it is at the moment, we might have to retract, but the review and approval, she said, I'm going to have to vote no on this. So she may want clarification so there's not a misinterpretation that this is not opposed to having a board bylaw, but that there was a need for a third reading or review.
But she clarified it, not the president.
And so therefore, if it had, so I'm trying to understand the bylaw. I'm not trying to make an excuse for it. You can delete it all you want. I'm good. Yeah, my thought is had Mrs. Ebbenkamp not clarified it, would there be an interest of the board to have the board president clarify it?
I'm just wondering.
I don't know. You guys are voting. I'm not.
That wouldn't be her.
Her role?
Her
okay.
Role, because maybe she doesn't know why she said. She shouldn't assume she knows.
But if somebody from the community would be asking, wouldn't it be the board president that person would ask first initially?
We're doing voting.
Like if somebody wants to know why I abstained today on that one item.
Mm-hmm.
We are sitting in the audience, but they didn't say anything. But after the meeting, would they come up to me directly, or would they go to the board president?
Well, in that case, I would assume. I don't know what someone else would do, but they would come up to you. And I think
we're reading more into A than we should.
Yeah.
The president, by clarifying no vote, she's going to say yes votes, no votes. And clarify that somebody did want to make
a different interpretation.
I think that's what that means.
Okay.
And then B would be the board member can explain why they voted mm-hmm. no, recused themselves, or abstained.
So you reading it as an interpretation. So, like, for instance, we moved quickly, and in this meeting, David said, pause, because I need to abstain from a vote. So then we could clarify the vote. It was a 4-0-1. Is that what you're referring to?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. I think we clarify the language because we all have a different, I don't.
Yeah. Maybe there's another way to word that.
And like we started, maybe it isn't necessary.
Yeah, I don't think we need A. What if we just crossed it off?
Or we can say the president should clarify the vote.
Just the vote.
Just the vote.
And say the number?
Yeah.
After every time we vote.
Good idea.
You have to say the number.
5-0 every time.
If we voted for it, we didn't vote for it. Or?
It is. It does the how individuals voted is captured in the notes, and so Brandy is doing that, and so she could always, if there's a need for clarification, you know. So
she
I don't know.
Say now, was that a no or mm-hmm. did I not hear you? Something mm-hmm. like that to make mm-hmm. sure it's correct.
So if I were to say 5-0, someone would say no. I didn't say, I didn't vote yes on that. So now I should say the numbers right after every time we vote. Okay. Well,
I don't think you need to say the number. You just have to say that we all voted in favor.
She just says what
yeah.
she says motion.
Yeah, you should
yeah.
do it anyway.
Because it's whether it passes or not. And then Brandy has the clarification in the minutes.
But if you didn't hear it or something, hear something and you can say, I'm sorry.
So we're talking about this whole thing. Did we do 13 this year?
So 13 was an item that was amended in our last because we added no less than. And so did we do 13? Yes, we did. I believe we covered 13 in our board study session.
I don't know if we did it all. All right.
Cross it off.
President show.
Or the president.
Clarify the vote.
Clarify the vote. That's all, period.
We'll set a bylaw. Here for 6 weeks.
Any other discussion on this?
They're not written very well.
No? So now we can go for a vote.
I think you have it, Dr. Mitchell, or do you want to?
So let me see if I have clarification. Then we will need to rescind and vote on this with changes. So as we look at the document, if we start at the very top of the document, there are no suggested changes to 1, no suggested changes to number 2. For item number 3, under 3B, it would be changed to read, the president and superintendent will evaluate new information to determine if further discussion is needed.
Yes. Good.
Mm-hmm. Item number 4, no votes, abstentions, recusals.
Yes.
Item 4A, the president should clarify the vote when necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I like
Item B, board members will have the opportunity to explain their no vote, recusal vote, or abstention votes. Good. Item 5, no changes. Item 6, requests should go through the superintendent with a copy to the board president. Yes. Item 7, no changes. Item 8B, information or suggestions come through the superintendent's office with a copy to the board president for a discussion with the board president.
That sounds awkward.
Period. Yes. And I've used copy instead of CC. Okay. So let me go back. Item 8, number 8, the role of the president, 8B, information or suggestions come through the superintendent's office with a copy to the board president for discussion.
I
think it's. I mean, it reads fine. I just got lost. I just lost the word four. I didn't read well.
I have a question about 6. Request for information required. I don't want to bog staff down with a lot of stuff, and maybe there's one person.
I think that at that time it needs to be a conversation that the superintendent has with the individual about the number of staff hours that would be involved in preparing the information, especially if it's something that only one person is interested in. I know we talked about that a little bit, at our study session, but because, like, let's just say I want to know
the history of
do all of our high schools and have back to school nights, and how often do they how many people actually attend? We only have 2 comprehensive high schools, so that would be something that would may have called to the principal and say, oh, we had about 50, we had about 60. Okay, you know, something that's short and easy. But if I said, well, how many from each grade level attended, how many parents from each grade level attended, and, you know, did they meet with all the teachers, and where I'm asking more details, where it's going to take time from the principal and possibly the directors and assistant superior to get all that information together, that's a bit much. So then the superintendent should be able to say, well, you know, that's a big request that would take quite a while to put together, and, you know, this much staff time, you know, is it that important to know this, or why do you need to know that specifically? I think that's a conversation that Dr. Mitchell has had with all of us maybe at one point or another and said, well, tell me what you're looking for, you know, maybe I can answer it, or maybe, you know, Dr. Huff could answer it, or one of the assistant soups or whoever could answer it. So
are you able to deal with that pretty comfortably right now, Dr. Mitchell?
Yes.
Okay.
Forget it. So 8B, we covered. Information or suggestions come from the superintendent's office with a copy to the board president for discussion. No changes to 9, no changes to 10, no changes to 11, no changes to 12, and no changes to 13 from tonight's discussion.
Good job.
So I need you to rescind the first and the motion. I don't know who.
Who first did it?
Carrie.
Withdraw the second also.
Yeah, you seconded it, yeah.
Because I didn't think I said anything because I was going to vote. I rescind mine, my second.
Okay, so now can I have a motion and a second to approve the... can I have a motion and a second to receive for a second reading and approval, Board Bylaw 9005.1, Board Superintendent Protocols, with the corrections that we discussed.
Go ahead, Kara. I'll second.
Are there any other questions or discussions? Okay, those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? No. Motion carries. Next on the agenda is pupil personnel. The next item is 7A. Do I have a motion to approve the readmission of student number 18-1903 from all schools and programs of Roland Unified School District effective March 15, 2019, with referral to a county or alternative school outside of the district for placement in an educational program?
Was that read correctly, Dawn?
Readmission?
Yeah, it says readmission. I have to change that.
Yeah.
As I read it, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I realized it when I went to it.
You know what? Let's, if I could.
Oh, I have the whole. I have it. Okay. Can I have a motion to approve the expulsion of student number 181903 from all schools and programs of Roland Unified School District effective March 15, 2019, with referral to a county or alternative school outside of the district for placement in an educational program?
I make a motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Now, next is the consent calendar. We will approve all the items in the consent with the exception of any items pulled for separate discussion and action. May I have a motion and a second?
I make a motion.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We are now on the conference section for board member comments. We will start with David this evening.
Oh. You know, February was such a short month, but my list is so long.
Turn it in.
So I'll try to go through this real quickly, but there are so many good things that happened that I attended, and I just want to just briefly touch base with them. First of all, congratulations to all the students and staff that we recognized tonight. When we have these recognitions, that's the best part I like about this job, is that we get to see the outcomes of our efforts, and it really is nice to see that. Secondly, congratulations to the staff and students of Roland High School for being awarded California Distinguished School status. I looked that up on the internet just to get more information on it, and only 5% of all the schools in California are designated California Distinguished School each year. So that's pretty good that they got that award. And they joined the ranks with Killian Elementary, who was named this California Distinguished School in 2018. So now we have two schools. I attended the WASC reception at Roland High School and want to congratulate the staff on their successful review there. I was also very impressed with the students' report, where they said they did that one performance for the special need students. I thought that was really great. We celebrated our one-year relationship, which was mentioned in the superintendent's report, with Sioux Chief Foundation. We've been averaging about 250 families a month that we've been distributing food to. And this last week, we had 274. That it was a new record for us. And Mr. Han Nong, the CEO of Sioux Chief Foundation, actually came out to celebrate it with us. Judged the senior projects the other day. I wanted to say the projects were timely and they were excellent. The students did an excellent job presenting in front of an audience. And also for the day I was there, Chafee Credit Union, Congresswoman Grace Napolitano's representative, and the Fashion Design Institute all were judges on the panel that day. So I really am happy that we're getting community input in that program. I attended the ROP recognition night at Expo Center. It was kind of a bittersweet experience, knowing that it's going to be the last one. Pat McIntosh, who was really the founder of the Bridge Foundation, she received a special award that night. And it was a very emotional experience talking to her afterwards. Principal for the day was celebrated again this year, and building bridges between RUSD and the local community, especially the business community, is really an excellent program, and I heard a lot of good input. The RUSD Band Music Festival was very enjoyable. It was wonderful to see the progression of talent from K through 6 to intermediate and then to high school. And the RUSD Choral Festival was also very enjoyable. Music is definitely alive in the RUSD district. It was a sellout audience. Mr. Chen and myself, we had to be creative in our parking and create our own parking spots. because there were no parking spots available. It's great to see the family coming out and supporting this. And by the way, the costumes that they wore, especially in the high school level, was really phenomenal. The special arts show is always my favorite to go to. I had to cut my visit short because I wanted to get over to the other event that night. But if you have never been there, you really need to go there. Bring some Kleenex with you because it's a tearjerker. I mean, the unconditional love from those students is just unbelievable and how they want to share what they've done. RUSD's Got Talent was a success again this year. We definitely have A in STEM, in the STEM for STEAM by looking at the talent that was on display that night. For the first time, I participated in the Career Technical Education Forum that Rocky and Vicky coordinated. I was very impressed with the number of businesses that came out to see that our curriculum is on target with what they need in the community. Aligning our curriculum with the needs in the business community, I think, is the way that we keep that program alive and successful. And the people at the table I was sitting at was giving a lot of good input on how to revise our curriculum. I attended the 23rd Parent Involvement Academy. Again, that was a sellout event. They literally take over the entire Pacific Palms Hotel, and there's just no room for anybody in there. I mean, it is packed. One of the workshops I went through was on mindfulness, and I was thinking when we did the exercise and went through the presentation that it, too, could be a very successful resource for some of our teachers. I understand there are a few that are using it now, and it really does calm K through 6 especially down when they come in after recess. Oswald Academy 6th grade exhibition was very impressive. They took the entire field out, and they had displays set up for two or three student presentations where they each did a subject. And what was really neat is they took the K kindergarten and maybe first or second graders to each booth, had them sit in front of the booth, and then the students, the sixth graders, did their presentation to them. So it was really neat to see that. And finally, our board has requested and completed a study session regarding interventions and resources available to assist teachers and students who are having behavioral issues in their classes. Tonight, we acted to approve a $165,000 contract with Outreach Concern Incorporated for counseling services and for K through 6, and renewed our contract with 5 Acres Boys and Girls Aid Society that provides intensive behavioral support to children in their homes. And additionally, Mr. Flores mentioned the additional staff that we'll be hiring. Finally, we approved the hiring of a social worker a few months ago to assist in the Family Resource Center. These services were in addition to other services that we have in place that are ongoing. Our students are our most precious resource, and we want to provide the best services possible and to enable them to succeed in their classroom. And finally, for all the math teachers, happy Pi Day.
Carrie?
Happy Pi Day. Today is 14th of March.
Okay, happy Pi Day, and salute to all the math teachers of the district. And Pi is a mathematics most interesting and significant the number all the kids need to learn, and mathematics is not an easy subject. Yeah. So, thank you, Alex, and your team for the presentation, like an interim report. Excellent job. And I attend the district chorus festival last night, and the kids had an amazing performance, and I can't imagine how many hours of practice they have done under the teachers. But I have to point out that everything fine at the end of the event, and we don't have number one, we don't have enough parking, but that's fine. We park in the illegal. but then the parking, at the end of the event, there's a more than 500 cars and leaving the parking at the same time. Then a lot of drivers are not following the traffic direction and taking the opposite traffic direction way, try to get in out. So the traffic got jammed, and fortunately, Mr. Chen was there, direct the traffic, and the Nogales principal, Dr. Seuss, was there. And the two gentlemen immediately jumped to the spot. I was caught right into the spot, and they almost argued, and I left. I don't know what happened after that. But luckily, we have Mr. Chen and Dr. Seuss were there to direct the traffic and solve the problem. But I think in the future, for that type of event, as that many of the cars in the parking lot even the same, we need to have someone to there to direct the traffic. For them, and otherwise, you know, we may make an accident, then that will be bad. I attend the parent involved meeting. Mr. Morgan says the whole Pacific Palm, the five rooms were all packed, and it was, I think that's the parents are also excited and taking part of the seminar. I attend a seminar called 21st Century Classroom. So I was expecting to tell us what technology is, but no, it's not. And the speaker telling the parents not technology, and telling the parents for 21st century technology, you need to change your attitude, how to set your attitude to the kids. That remind me, and a parent a few weeks ago telling me he punished his child wrong because he saw his child is playing a computer game on the computer, but end up this homework. Yeah, so the parents cannot tell the what's on the computer. So that's something the older generation and the technology generation difference, and the parent generation need to learn about the 21st century. Other than that, most of the events Mr. Malkin has mentioned. I was there and enjoyed it very much. And the WASC and Rulin High School and was that was a great and I congratulate the students who received award today and I congratulate Rulin High School for receiving the honor of California Distinguished School. And Miriam had an excellent job for today's presentation. And that told us we've seen the parents here today speaking about our new health curriculum. And that told us we need to have more efficient channel to communicate with the parents so they will know what we're doing and they will no confusion of what we are going to do and what we are doing. Right. Thank you.
Lynn?
I promise I won't be long. I spent this morning and yesterday morning with the senior Nogales High School students giving their career project reports. And boy, these students did a fabulous job. Good reports. They were well spoken. A few were nervous, but you would expect that. But they just did a really good job. Some of them had such timely projects like drug abuse, teen pregnancy, HIV, AIDS, those kind of topics. And I asked almost every student group made questionnaires out that they got information from their peers, or some of them went to middle school to get the questions answered. And some of the information they got was interesting, and the district might be interested in finding out some of the stuff. So I did ask them to send their questionnaires and their project reports to Dr. Mitchell's office. There was one on music. There were two today. One was on about students playing woodwind instruments, and then there was another one on music and the art, or on the arts. And these students really feel that they're not feeling yet that our students are taking more music and getting the arts that we're offering them, because they're high school level. They're not feeling it yet, but they had a picture of a first-year class with instruments, woodwind instruments, and their band at Nogales High School, and they mentioned how they're not going to have a band if this is all the kids we have in, you know, the woodwind and trumpets and, you know, those kind of instruments that kids go into band. So, I didn't want to preach to them because that's not the job I had there, but understanding that the first year they can take violin or they can take music, sing. I don't think it's till the second year that they can take trumpet or clarinet, some of those things. So anyway, Dr. Mitchell, you might be getting some reports. I went to a lot of the things David did. Some of the topics that the Oswald kids had were like hypertension, congestive heart failure, child marriages, the fires, things that are really timely in the news today, and they were sharing it with their peers, and I thought it was a really good way to do it. Again, Roland, making the distinguished school is wonderful, and I want to tell you a little bit about the event last night. Sorry, I'm going longer than I thought. But everybody else did, so I'm going to finish. I thought I was going to be smart. Instead of parking in the parking lot that was so crowded, I parked on Valencia and went through the gate that's behind the high school. Enjoyed it. I thought, oh, good, I'm not going to have to fight this parking. I got all the way to the gate, and it was locked. I had to go back. Luckily, I saw Mitch. And Mitch walks me back because he has a key. So I did get out. And we went back and somebody had opened it. Maybe somebody else complained. But anyway, I was escorted out to the gate. So I was very appreciative. But I want to thank Dr. Mitchell for investing in our district, because I know she spends a lot of time. She listens to what people say. She's a good leader for our staff, and I think our staff leadership appreciates that. I do as a board member, and I'm sure the rest of the board members do too. And the ones that should appreciate the most, that probably know the least about it, are our students. But thank you, Dr. Mitchell.
Angelina?
Okay, so Lynn is going to punch me, because normally I'm like two seconds, and I have a lot I want to say today, and then I think David cheated off my paper. So I'll make the first part quick. I want to congratulate the students recognized today. Great job. I would also like to acknowledge the Nogales Cheer Squad, who took third place at Nationals in Las Vegas. Congratulations to Roland High School on being recognized as a California Distinguished School. And since our last board meeting, so the ROP Student Recognition and Awards, as Mr. Malkin said, it was very bittersweet knowing that this is the last one. It's been one of the events that I really enjoyed going to and attending. My son benefited from the scholarship awards that were given out when he was a student, so I really hate to see this come to an end, but I'm thankful for all that it's done. And while Mr. Malkin talked about the Bridge Foundation, he neglected to give himself props, him and Terry Malkin, about the generous scholarship awards that they gave out that night. So thank you, Mr. Malkin, and please pass our thanks on to your wife as well. I also had the opportunity to read to a kinder class and a sixth grade class at Ibarra. Very different experiences. I enjoyed them both, though, but I thought that the kindergartners would be more into my reading and that the sixth graders would be bored and falling asleep, and it was the opposite. But it was fun, and I look forward to next year, whichever school I end up at. Attended the WASC visit at Roland High School, and I understand that it went well, so we're just waiting. No report yet?
So they did do a report out, and we will be updating the board on tomorrow.
Okay, thank you.
That information.
Okay.
We don't have a final report. We have the preliminary piece that they shared out, and Cabinet was present.
Oh, okay. Cool. And I attended the Service Center One Council Code Awards, where ARE recognized football and track and field coach Todd Ball for over 25 years of service to our students in the community. And I bring this up because of the side note that Coach Ball was actually Mr. Lohman's football coach when he was a student. And then they later ended up coaching together. So that was a neat experience. Is Coach Ball old or is Mr. Lohman old? But it was a very nice award, and thank you, Mr. Lohman, for allowing me to be part of that. I attended the open house at Santana, where they had to pry me away from the robotics because they had a demonstration of the robotics program, and they said, who wants to try it? And all the students were embarrassed to get up, and of course I couldn't resist because you got to play with a computer and a robot. So I spent probably about 20 minutes doing that until they were like, we have to put it away now. So after they took it from me, then I went and visited the classrooms, and it was really nice. And the one thing I want to say about Santana is I love going there because the students, they're just so friendly. They just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And so, I mean, I had a really good conversation with like three students there about their future plans, why they ended up at Santana, how much they love it. Then their parents came over. So it was really amazing. I loved that interaction. Finally, the one thing I want to share is my favorite event every year, which several other people have mentioned too, which is the Very Special Arts Festival. This year it was at Nogales last night. That's why I wasn't at the choir function. The students there are always so proud to show off their artwork, and their talents are really unbelievable. And the parent and family support at the event is amazing, which adds to the excitement. And this year, I was able to connect the organizers, the RUSD organizers, with the IMPACT program at Mount SAC, which is part of our Adults with Disabilities program. So I was able to get them to come and have an information table, and it was just, the parents were thrilled to be able to find out about an additional resource for their kids once they time out of Roland and need another program to enroll in. So there was a lot of good information shared with those parents about a location that's right down the street from them. There were also several other vendors there that gave some organizations that had a lot of good information to share with the parents as well. And I do want to give special thanks to a few of the students, Lauren, Andrew, and Patrick, because they were my tour guides. They took me around, and they showed me their art, and they showed me their classmates' arts, and they made me go through the sensory car wash and everything else that was there. So they were kind of, come over here. And it was great. I loved every moment of it. Their smiles just, I mean, I was exhausted yesterday when I got there. And just being with them, you just get a whole new energy. So like Mr. Malkin said, if you've never been, you have to go. It's an amazing event. Finally, last thing, since our board comments are supposed to be for our board, I just want to remind my colleagues that when we hear rumors in the community, especially when we know things that aren't true, or if we're not sure if it's true or not, we need to let Dr. Mitchell know about those things so she can address it in advance, because there were a lot of parents here tonight where they really didn't have to be here. And it's something that Miriam Kim could have taken care of and had a meeting, like I said, she did with the other parents that I told you about. And she had a great meeting with them and with the community members who were spreading the rumors and the churches even. And they were so thankful and appreciative because not only did the parents get the information, but these community members who were being told things that were not true about our district received the information as well. And it would have given the opportunity to have a formal translator as well so that we could have really, you know, they could have really been able to speak their minds on what they were concerned about. So we just had to make sure we do our due diligence as a board and pass that information on to Dr. Mitchell as we agreed upon in our bylaws. Thank you. See, I think I was faster than all of you.
I'm glad everybody was long. I'm not going to feel bad. Okay, good evening. Thank you. Less than 10 people here. Thank you for staying. What? No. Ah, David. Okay, so I even crossed off some events I went to, but first, the awards were great today, and Oswald Academy did a great job. The kids spoke very well. The second interim report, thank you so much, Alex, Aubrey, and Rosanna. Thank you and your team. We really appreciate all your hard work. Miriam, wonderful. I'm really happy that you shared that with everybody. Thank you. And in the consent calendar, the outreach concern incorporated, I already said a lot about that when we had discussion, but I'm really happy that all the elementary schools will have counselors next year. And also, we approved the 5 acres, which will start right away for more counseling services. And some of the events, so I'm not listing them all, that I attended was the Roland Heights celebration staff to say congratulations on being a California Distinguished School. That was very special. The La Puente Valley ROP and the Educational Bridge Foundation Student Recognition Night, just like my colleagues have said. But I wanted to mention that the top two winners for $2,000 and 1,500 scholarships were for students from Nogales High School. So that was very exciting. I have visited many schools. At one school, I saw sixth graders leaving for camp, and they were all excited. No parking spaces. I think the sixth grade parents were there to see them off. That must have been why, because usually I can find a parking place. Saw excellent teaching and learning, great lessons, technology being utilized in so many different ways, innovation labs at some of our schools. The shoe giveaway. Students were so excited to receive a new pair of shoes. 100 students benefited by this, and it's fairly special to watch them, and they're just really happy to get a new pair of shoes. The Science Olympiad, I went to Rio Hondo, and there was Telesis, Alvarado, and Roland High School who participated. Parents were there to support. Two parents from Alvarado praised their students, teacher, and loved this program and raved about it. Read Aloud Week, I read to 5 classrooms, and it was so much fun. It made me miss teaching so much. Students were amazing. Oswald Academy, as my colleagues have mentioned, the 6th grade exhibitions were amazing. The students were so prepared and outstanding with their presentations. They did so much research and were so knowledgeable. Great topics. And it wasn't just to tell you everything. Oh, come and look at the computer. Look at my report. They had to do so much stuff, so many different things. Very impressive. I went to Hurley Playground Night Innovation Lab. So playground, I'm thinking I'm going to playground. No, it wasn't a playground. What they did was there was over 50 parents there, and they enjoyed playing with all the technology and games in the cafeteria. There were different sections. Students figure out how to do things on their own. And Tricia was there, and one student was playing a piano with an iPad, and she said, oh, no, look, you can be in charge. So she gave like 5 of us, one high school, junior high, this metal thing to hold on to. And the girl that's in charge and her mom had one. And so she goes, here, touch their finger. And sure enough, when you touch the finger, the piano went off. And all of us are like, oh. And so she goes, here, touch your mom's nose. And she did. And the piano went off. And I told the high schooler, I'm 63 years old. I never even knew you could do something like that. And she was saying how, yes, you guys have electricity. In you, and that was really fun to see that. All the kids and parents had fun. I went to Roland Elementary Learning Night, Game Night. There was a guest speaker, and several rooms were open to play games. Teachers facilitated all these great experiences, so many different games. Everyone was having lots of fun. I never saw huge Uno cards before, and they were playing them. Another one was with math tiles, and one student had 2 + 1 + 5 = 8. I never even thought of using 3 numbers, you know, and so that was pretty good. Similar to Pictionary, but had to use all the tiles, and if you were first to finish, you won. Mr. Martinez, principal, participated 1 in letters and 1 in his group. Career certification program presentations. These students from Nogales High School were outstanding. They seemed much older than being seniors in high school by the way they presented. Great research and presentations. I was very impressed. And lastly, very special art festival last night. This was amazing to see the smiles on the faces of all the students when they received a certificate. Great art. Dr. Tinkup and team did a fantastic job. And now I can go to this. Okay. All right. So may I please have a motion and a second to adjourn the regular board meeting of the Roland Unified School District Board of Education.
I move.
Second.
All in favor, say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. And our meeting is adjourned at 9:01. Thank you.